The Europe Report with Kanan Lipschitz.
Kanan, welcome to the show. Nice to be with you.
Hi, thanks for having me on again. How are things?
The jacarandas are out, which is our big purple tree that happens this time every summer. So everyone is a better mood when the jacarandas are out. Interesting story you've got for us. Lithuania minting a first ever EU coin with Hebrew letters honoring Vilnius scholar. Very important to a lot of our community from Vilnius.
I made a boo-boo on that one. It's actually not the first since I wrote the article. It turned out It's not the first. It's the second. In 2012, Slovakia printed the first with Chatam Sofer. It had two Hebrew letters on it, so technically not the first, but certainly an unusual gesture. Also because it has Hebrew on an EU currency, but also because it's a rare occasion in which one personality is celebrated on EU money. Fundamentally speaking, the European Bank tries not to do this because of all the sensitivities that go into people and national conflicts. You know, do you celebrate Napoleon? He killed so many Austrians. You don't want to get into that. So you put in architecture, you put in a tree. We don't have any spectacular as the jacarandas, but whatever, we have a birch, and you're done with it. But no, this time Lithuania decided to honor the Vilna Gaon, the 18th century rabbinical genius, Eliyahu ben Shlomo Zalman, who lived in what he called Vilna, which is now Vilnius, of course. And this is the 300th anniversary of his birth. And so they printed a special 10-euro coin celebrating this. It's one of a number of very beautiful gestures done toward the Jewish residents of Lithuania, including Leah Goldberg, the famous Israeli children's author who recently got a building-sized mural on a residential house in Kaunas, Kovno, Lithuania's second city. It's kind of an attempt to reconnect to the Jewish heritage. Now, this all sounds real nice, right?
Well, I mean, it does, but at the same time, Lithuania has a little bit of a checkered past and a checkered current when it comes to issues of recognizing the Holocaust and dealing with certain kinds of perpetrators, etc.
Exactly. This is where I was getting at. There's this duality. On the one hand, we will recall with nostalgia our disappeared Jewish brethren and compatriots. On the other hand, we'll celebrate people like Jonas Nureika, a Nazi collaborator who stole Jewish property and lived in a beautiful house in Sulais that he stole from a Jewish family. He personally commanded people to send to be shot in killing pits. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. There is Ambovicius. There are many Lithuanian politicians, collaborators with the Nazis who are now being celebrated as folks heroes. Not, mind you, admittedly, not for the fact that they collaborated with the Nazis to kill Jews, but as heroic resistance fighters to the Soviet domination. But in this process, the Lithuanian authorities are perfectly happy to look the other way and ignore the fact that these are genociders. And I think, and a lot of observers think, that this duality actually serves to compensate the two halves. So we're going to be bad, quote unquote, on Jewish history with our collaborators, but we're going to make good with these murals and the mint. Then no one can say that we Lithuanians don't honor the memory of our murdered Jews. And in this dialogue, the only thing that gets lost is that, unlike in many European countries, in Lithuania, locals were avid participators in the genocide. They often led the thing, unlike in Poland, let's say, where it was the Nazi occupation that did the dirty work.
Yeah, it's very, very interesting. You know, and a lot of suppression of the history going on in Lithuania. So, as you say, very interesting duality over there. Fernand, thank you so much for joining us on the show. Chat to you again next week.
Catch you later.